So first of all, just tell me about what you, you know, what your, who you, you know, the kind of person you care for, how you got into caregiving, just like general things.
Well, I got into it by accident. I actually, I answered an ad on care.com just for a little part-time job doing some housekeeping for his mother, and I got to know her that way. And sometimes when I would be over there, she would be like, hey, can you keep an eye on Eli while I do some things around the house or whatever? So we'd read together, and you know, after a few months of that, I started babysitting him, just, you know, playing games so her and the husband could have a date night or whatever every now and then. And then that worked out really well, and me and him got along really well, so I got signed on with the agency in North Carolina, and that was almost 5 years ago. So I've known him a little over 5 years.
Wow.
He had just turned 11, and she eventually had me trained in ABA, and then later RDI. So there's been a lot of, you know, one-on-one, and I don't know if you're familiar with RDI, but it's very, you know, it's very personal. I think usually it's family. It's kind of, it teaches them how to develop a relationship with family, but I was there so much, and I still clean for them on the side, and then they decided to move up here, which was a big change, and she asked me to come with them. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm really flattered that she, you know, thought enough of me to kind of bring me on and help them adjust and continue helping her around the house. He'll be 16 in 2 months. So we went from that little boy stage to kind of 15, 16-year-old. And
that's a big change. Can you tell me a little bit about him? What kind of skills and challenges he has?
He can do a lot of things independently, but he needs somebody to kind of tell him or prompt him. Like if you hand him a bag of potato chips, if he wants some, he'll say open, you know, and he can do it, but he needs like some verbal prompting, I guess, just to actually get it done.
To open the bag or
stuff like that, just anything.
Yeah.
It's like he knows, he just needs to hear it. It's like something about hearing it helps him kind of get it done.
Right. Yeah. So how about things like dressing himself?
He can do it. He doesn't need physical help. He just needs, like, if you put him in his room and say, change your clothes, he might pick up the new shirt. And then a few minutes later, you check on him and he's still holding it, kind of waiting on the okay.
Yeah.
So
does that have the effect of, you know, he's hesitant to do certain routine self-care and sort of daily living kinds of things, but what about, does he do things spontaneously, like, you know?
He has to really want it. It has to be something very motivating, like especially a candy or something. If he knows there's candy, he might run off and get it. But,
yeah.
Which is, he's definitely more verbal when it comes to food.
I
don't know if that's just a little like teenage boy thing, but he, if you ask him how he feels, no matter what, he'll say, I feel happy.
I'm what?
Happy.
Oh, that's
he's always
right.
Happy. Even if he's having
crying.
A major.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he probably thinks that's the answer that you give when someone asks you how you feel, right?
Yeah.
I know with my son, you say, does it hurt somewhere? Because it's obviously in pain. Your head. Because he thinks that's the answer to the question. Does
well,
it hurt?
We've had several of the communication devices, and there's one picture where it says hurt or pain, and the little, it's like a stick figure that's pointing to their arm, and it's like, you know, no matter what arm hurts.
Uh-huh.
Right. I'm like, she didn't hurt your arm. He's like, arm.
Yeah.
But if you ask him what he wants to eat, it's candy, gummies. Uh-huh. That'll come to him real quick.
Yeah.
But I think it's just very, that's something that's really motivating to him.
Yeah.
And that's very concrete.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly what he wants, whereas like with emotions, and we still don't know, we have no way of knowing what might actually hurt on him. So if he kind of has a meltdown out of nowhere, we feel like maybe his head hurts or something, but he can't really communicate that. We've worked on that for so long, and that's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. I have the same problem with my son.
Mm-hmm.
So what does a meltdown look like?
Sometimes he'll just start stomping, and we can kind of de-escalate by distracting or just talking really calmly or doing an activity he likes, like reading. He has certain books that he really loves, and sometimes we'll just go through and even just talking about the picture or something, not really demanding. But if it's a real meltdown, there's not much we can do other than just kind of wait it out.
Yeah.
But it's, and he's bigger than me. He's about 5'10", 5'11", a little over 200 pounds. So, I mean, he's, you know, there's not much we can do if he starts melting down in public. We try to, of course, get him out back to, you know, the car or van or whatever. But just do the best we can.
Yeah.
Depends on what's causing it. And
Yeah. Is he ever aggressive to people when he's melting down?
Yes.
Yeah. And does he?
From what his mother's told me, it's not as bad as it used to be. When he was little, he had a problem biting and all that stuff. And now he doesn't really push, but he'll just sort of nudge you away.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's because he can't. Extra stimulation is just too much at that time.
But he doesn't pull hair or scratch or anything.
No.
That's good.
Just push, and sometimes he covers his face, but I think that's to block out noise, and then he'll kind of lean into push.
Yeah.
There's only been a few times where he's really pushed, and that's when we just kind of just stay out of his way and let him ride it out
when
he needs to. And he does do some self-harming behaviors, though.
What are those?
He bites. He hasn't done that so much in a while, but he used to bite his hands.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we'd give him a towel or something and say bite, and that usually works.
Yeah. Also familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he also does this thing where he'll sit down and just sort of plop back really hard. If he's sitting on the floor,
he'll
plop back, and we try to give him like a pillow or something to put his head on.
Yeah.
And that's, when it's that bad, there's not much to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if his mom's nearby, she has, I guess, like some anti-anxiety meds that she can give him. I don't give him those. Just I don't think she'd mind, but I just don't want to give him anything.
I wonder if they're fast acting. Do they do anything
they
right away?
They seem to be, but it's hard to tell, because when he gets that upset, usually in about 15 or 20 minutes, he's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
He'll start being giggly and laughing like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
It's hard, but...
Yeah. Well, those are characteristics that I recognize or can identify with my son. I have to say, I think it gets better with maturity. I mean, it may not be, other people said this to me, but I feel like the hardest years for my son were around between the ages maybe of 12 and 15. And then he's still, knock on wood, because, you know, you never know when something's going to... A behavior you thought was extinguished reemerges. Does he go to school?
He does.
Uh-huh.
Now, last year was his first year in high school, and they went to a charter school in North Carolina, and he was in like the middle and elementary school, and there were a lot of other nonverbal kids. They were a lot more like him.
Yeah.
And when he got to high school, you know, the kids were verbal. Some of them were not as severe as him. I don't know their exact diagnosis, but there were no nonverbal kids or no severe autism.
And did that seem like a problem?
I think so. He did really well in school.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like he could hold it together because he knew he had to, but then as soon as he got home, it was just full meltdown, and we couldn't really work together.
Uh-huh.
So eventually they did a homebound program that seemed to really work.
Once he got to the high school, because having the higher functioning kids was somehow impoverished his experience.
Yes. We don't really know what. I don't know if it was because he started kind of realizing how different he was.
Uh-huh.
I don't really know. And that was hard, but apparently they have, and he actually started a summer program today.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
So,
wait, here in Essex Junction, is it a school-based program?
Yes.
Okay.
So he'll be going about 2 hours a day, and from what I understand, the teachers there are a lot more experienced.
Yeah.
Definitely have a lot better programs here.
Yeah. So. It's a good thing about Vermont, for sure.
Yes.
How many hours, like, what is your experience as a caregiver? And, like, how many hours do you feel like, have you lived with the family primarily, or?
No, okay, not until
right
they came
now.
Here.
Okay.
Yes. And her husband does a lot of traveling for work, and her older son is about to go to college, and he actually wanted to go to school in Vermont and got a scholarship, so it kind of worked out for them.
Oh,
and
so where is he going?
Vermont Technical College.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. So, I think I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, with not having them around, I think she, you know, having some extra help around the house is good. And then she also wanted help with him transitioning to a new place.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and now that he's at 16, he will begin a transition process towards adulthood.
Yes.
Which probably seems, do you have any sense of what the family, or any sense, even what you've lived with, you've been in his life for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about like what that means to you. Like, how do you do you take pride in being a caregiver? How do you feel?
Oh,
about,
definitely.
And,
yes.
And what are the rewards for you in doing the work that you're doing with him?
You know, that's one of those jobs where I wake up and I'm just like, I can't believe I do this. You know, I can't believe that I would mean so much to somebody to let me, you know, be responsible for, especially not being verbal. And, you know, I'm sure that's got to be really hard on a parent to trust somebody with their kid who can't communicate.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid something, you know, happen to them.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously it's taught me about patience, and it's kind of like things that 5 or 6 years ago might have seemed like a big deal after seeing, you know, how, like, the little tiny milestones, major things don't seem so big, you know.
Right.
You learn to let things roll off that might have at some point been,
like,
really upsetting.
Things with him or things just in general? In
general,
the world.
And with the family and seeing what they've gone through, and, you know, so many things that we take for granted that we've had to work so hard to get him to do or to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then hearing the stories about all the, you know, the changes the family had been through as he was growing up. And
yeah. So it sounds like you feel pretty close to the mom. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's we, yes. And we're from North Carolina, so it's North Carolina.
It must be hard to move so far from home.
I don't even know how to say it. We came from a little land that, you know, basically worships the ground truck walks on. And, uh-huh. you know, after all the changes, and then they're trying to make all these healthcare things that are going to be really devastating to him if it goes through. And then being around those people all the time that right. actually support all these, you know, horrible changes for them.
Yeah.
And you don't find many people that kind of think that way and see that there.
Yeah.
And it was just, it really got kind of depressing after a while to see people basically walk all over the less, you know, the more vulnerable
right.
people.
Yeah.
And so it's been really nice for him to come, you know, be able to come here. And
yeah.
I was planning on staying. She wanted me to come stay, and I was like, well, I can't deal with winter. My family's at home. And I was like, well, I'll come help you adjust, and then, you know, maybe go home by December and spend Christmas with my family and see how it goes. So I might end up going home, but
yeah,
I haven't quite decided yet. And
yeah.
Well, it's really wants me to stay here.
I'm sure she wants you to stay. Mm-hmm. it's, you know, speaking from the other side of that, as a parent, like we get very attached to the people who are good for our children,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they feel like family to us. You know, they are family. I have
yes.
one who is now, she's down in Providence, she just started her medical school, she just finished med school and she's doing her residency, but she's still part of our family and mm-hmm. we're planning to go down and visit her, and luckily she's from Vermont, so she comes
Aww.
Up, but like to me she's like my other, I have a daughter who's 16 and then I have Erin who's 28 and, mm-hmm. and you know, she's going to be a doctor, but she's still my other,
yeah.
she's, and also, you know, there's something about being an autism family that's very isolating. It, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of, it limits your social interactions.
Yes.
And also you experience life, as you've said, you know, in it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, this, you know, big deal. You know, let's, you know, things
yeah.
that bother other people roll off of you.
Yeah.
But you're always sort of trying to sort of provide opportunities for your child with special needs,
yes.
while you know, or sort of navigate the world in a way that is sustainable for everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can only do certain things, so you make the
yes.
most of that.
Yep.
But other people have so many more different options, so it can
yep.
be isolating. And so when people sort of get pulled into your world,
mm-hmm.
and are such important members of
yeah.
that small world, it's heartbreaking
yeah.
to let go of them. And
yeah.
they're far and few between, and it sounds like, you know, you've just been an amazing, amazing presence for...
That's what she says, and I'm like, I don't know, just do it. I mean, I love them all to death, and
yeah.
I mean, her older son, he's like a, you know, nephew to me by now, and
yeah.
So we'll be sad when he goes to college,
yeah.
even though he's only an hour away.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So.
I have some other specific questions I'd like to ask you. So it sounds like you do some structured activities
mm-hmm.
With Eli, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is his name? Okay.
Yes.
What are some other? So you do some like specific sort of like RDI type.
Mm-hmm.
scenarios with them, other things
yes.
that you do together?
I don't know, whatever he wants to do. It's hard because we still are kind of at a very transitional phase where he's comfortable doing like kid activities,
yeah.
you know, reading kids books, but because he's of his age, I'm trying to get him out of that, and so
yeah.
but then, you know, things that teenagers might do are a little advanced for him, but but yeah, we try to do, I'm very crafty, so I try to get him to do crafts, and
yeah.
sometimes I wonder if he's just doing it because I'm telling him to, or if he really enjoys it.
Yeah.
No, we've, he loves working on a calculator for some reason, which I hate math, so but I do it with him, and he likes, like, figuring out things. I don't know if it's just the buttons or...
Right,
but
yeah.
If I tell him a math problem, he does
oh,
that,
cool.
And he loves it. Even sometimes when he's upset, he'll say calculator. But he'd prefer to play iPad games.
iPad games.
He loves his iPad.
Yeah. What kind of games does he like on
the iPad? He likes Candy Crush and anything that, like, moves, that he can make move. He likes that.
Yeah.
So I try to get him to play things like checkers or strategy type stuff. And sometimes if I explain it, I'll say, like, especially with something even as simple as Candy Crush, I'm like, okay, well, we need to get this part down to there. How would you go about doing that? And sometimes he can figure that out, but what else do we do? Kind of whatever he wants to. I've tried to do things like origami that involves reading instructions and if you kind of take it slow and go step by step. He's actually really good at that.
I don't think
he would do it on his own.
Yeah.
And we've tried to get him into physical activities, which is hard. He's been a little more active here, but I think it's not so hot. And at home in North Carolina, it's hot and humid.
Yeah, no.
And just mentioning outside sends him into.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's starting to walk more, and he actually enjoys kayaking. They have a couple of kayaks. It's just sometimes hard to get them out and loaded and.
There is a program called Vermont Adaptive. Sports, and I use some of my Medicaid money to budget for those services, and they have I think they have kayaking and canoeing, and they also have bicycling, where I wouldn't have thought Robbie could ride a bicycle. He can, actually. He rides a tandem bike, but they also do rock climbing, so there are some activities. It's called Vermont Adaptive, and they have summer activities, and then they also have winter activities. Robbie doesn't like to do things he's not confident about, and you know who does, but you know, and he's like many autistic people, he doesn't like change, but he does, you know, but they work with him, and they're, you know, they expect that level of reluctance, so it's a great program. Something to think about. We've structured for Robbie. He just expects to go for a walk every day because he's about 6 foot and 200 pounds, and we're just trying to keep him from getting a lot larger for his own, just so that he can continue to be mobile and everything. Mm-hmm. And so he just takes for granted that every day is a walk. And it gets more challenging in the winter, but we, you know, sometimes you can find an indoor space to walk. Yeah.
I think he might actually do better. Eli might actually do better in winter.
Yeah, because
he's just not a summer person.
Yeah,
and I can understand. I think he's sensitive to the light too.
There are some paths that are pretty shaded too. If you go on there's right along the water in. There's a bicycle path. That heads north from downtown on Lake Champlain. And it's pretty shaded at that end. There's more sun to the south. But if you head north from the waterfront downtown, it's a little more shady.
Okay.
Yeah. But does he like water?
Because
there's some good beaches there too.
We've only gone, and we were near the lake in North Carolina, but we've only gone swimming at, like, the YMCA pool.
Yeah. Well, just, and there's a beach.
Oh, he does? I think he likes being near
around.
Water.
Yeah, just there's some nice beaches on the lake, if you haven't done that yet.
We've driven around some, but haven't had time to really look into places.
There's also, I know Robbie used to like going over to Essex from, not Essex Junction, but Essex, New York. There's a ferry that goes from Charlotte. It's called Charlotte here.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I'm from Charlotte.
Yeah, it's called Charlotte. And there's a ferry that goes across Lake, and it's a short ferry ride. And then there's a little town in Essex that's just, it's you can take a little walk, and there's a restaurant. It's a fun activity, too.
Okay.
You can go by foot. You can park your car in a parking lot that's cheaper, but it's another fun activity. I can give you all sorts of activities if Peter, since you have my email,
thank you.
Autism-friendly activities.
Cool.
He's
kind of a little limited.
Yeah.
But he enjoyed kayak, and they had a tandem bike. I was too short to ride it. My feet wouldn't reach the pedals.
Uh-huh.
But one of the taller tutors, she would take him out on it, and she would look back, and he would just be kind of chilling and watching.
Yeah.
And she's struggling. She's like, why is this so hard?
Well, it's hard when...
to remind him to pedal.
Yeah.
I can't blame him, though. I would just sit back and relax, too. But
you
do have to kind of remind him to...
Yeah, to do his part.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So when decisions are made about Eli's interests and care, like... does he participate in those decisions? You say, Eli, what would you like to do today? Obviously, I know that with Robbie, open-ended questions like that are not.
It's almost always yes, no matter even if it's not a yes or no question. It's yes. But then when you sit down and say, let's do this, nope. It's like once he actually sees
what we're
doing.
Yeah. But do you have ways of involving him in choice making or
we try to
and did you talk to him about moving?
Yes.
And how did that go?
He seemed like he was on board with it, and I think he is, and it was hard for us. We did talk a lot about this will be change, and we tried to go online and look up the house, and I'll say, this is going to be your new house, and he knows his address. If you ask him his address, and even now he'll say his old address, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Your address is, you have a new address now, and I'm trying to teach him his phone number, but I don't even know it. So they have a home number that I don't know. But, I don't, but he actually does accept change really well, which
is
good.
That's great. That's nice.
He's the only time that's an issue is when he gets into no routine, like we've had the last few weeks since we've been moving and all, and I've taken him a few places here and there. He loves Wendy's.
Uh-huh.
And then yesterday I was like, let's do a little work and then Wendy's, and just sort of flipped out because I guess he's used to going and not having to work. But as far as changes, like with if he's used to going to school and school gets out for the summer, he's fine with that, and he seemed fine moving.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but I know, some of us have been stressed just with getting everything ready to move and changing everything, especially his mother, because now she's having to change his doctors and, go through that process, getting him services and that, but I think he picks up on our stress a lot.
Yeah.
And then, we're all trying to figure out where things go, and then we can't find anything, and then somebody gets frustrated.
Yeah.
And I think he's picking up on that.
Yeah.
I think his reaction is just to kind of go, they have these new stairs now that kind of go in a, L shape, and he likes to hide in there because it's just dark and quiet. And sometimes it's hard to get him up from there, but he seems to like it. He knows where his room is. He can find, his room, and he knows where he keeps his iPad on the charger.
Uh-huh.
So he's, he's adapted really well in that sense.
Yeah. How long has it been?
3 weeks.
Oh, really? Very recently. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is stressful.
Yes.
Yeah.
She wanted to get up here and kind of get time to adjust before he goes to a summer program.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So it wasn't because of anyone. Was it the move necessitated by job relocation or anything like that, or was it just a choice?
It was just a little of everything.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked out for all of them. Mm-hmm. She was frustrated with some of, a lot of the politics and stuff going on in North Carolina right now, and so was I.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect me personally as much as it's going to affect her and her family.
Right.
Her son, her older son, is really into environmental eco
Yeah.
Solar,
well, found
whatever.
Right place.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Awesome.
And she was, you know, just kind of threw out the idea, like, what if we move somewhere? And
yeah.
Her older son was the one who said, what about Vermont? And she was like, oh, I'll look into it. And then, you know, the more she looked into it, it was, you know, really great for Eli.
Yeah.
And really also, there's programs up here that I had always thought, what if they had something like that? That would be so cool. And
that's great.
I had no idea they actually had those, just not where we live.
Yeah. Interesting.
And, yeah. So.
Well, I do have a question, and you were talking about how it's the changes to, say, healthcare and Medicaid would have huge ramifications for the family and for Eli. But I don't know how you do. You have insurance through your work, or okay? So
I need to get insurance, and I just haven't yet.
Yeah,
we were talking about that yesterday. I just have not.
I think
got around to filing for it.
Okay, but you can you file for it? How are you compensated? Are you a personal care? Or do you get personal care funding? Or are you paid by the state?
They were through an agency. It's North Carolina based.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's under an agency that's under Medicaid. And that whole mess of that all confuses me to no end. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
But I know ultimately it was reported to Medicaid.
Right.
But I mean, here they're kind of paying. Well, of course, I work a few hours a week to just to cover room and board and whatever, just and help her out. But yeah, they're paying out of pocket right now.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So, and I want to say they have to be a resident for about 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
Before I can get signed on.
Because
with an agency.
I think one of the issues here, well, I wonder about that, how that works. I know that I can pay people who have out of state. They may not qualify for Medicaid in Vermont yet, but I can pay I use a lot of students from, because I teach at Middlebury College, students from Middlebury College, and a lot of them have out-of-state addresses. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You know, I can I can still file the paperwork in Vermont, and they don't have to have a Vermont driver's license or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that, I probably never tried to. So it doesn't matter that I'm in. I think that they would be able to either continue from North Carolina in the transition, or although you were working for an agency, I don't know how that works. But one of the things I think is interesting is how the work that you do is, like, from my perspective, some of the most important work in the world. And it calls on resources of patients and creativity and caring and compassion that I think are hugely important. And I don't think that it's, you know, but it's not a position that gets, you should have insurance, you should get paid a living wage, you know, all of those things. And I think is something. It's hard for people to continue to do the work because they want to, like, they want to make enough to, say, have their own family, and just the demands of care make that difficult.
Yeah, I know with that agency, you had to be a full-time 40-hour-a-week worker, which, you know, with what I was doing with him, I mean, you can't get 40 hours a week because you're working after school and...
Right, exactly.
You know, I was doing some, like, house stuff for the mother in the morning, or in, you know, late afternoon, early afternoon, and then working with him after school. So it wasn't like I had another boy that I worked with very briefly. And I mean, I was driving 45 minutes to work, 2.5-3 hours, and then driving back. So that's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. You know. It is.
And then they dropped our pay right before I left, a couple months before.
Yeah.
Because of, like, budget cuts or something.
Uh-huh.
They didn't get their money from wherever they get it, the state or something.
Uh-huh.
So
that's bad, I have to say. Yeah. That makes
me
so frustrated.
They had just dropped the pay when I first got hired on too.
Uh-huh.
I want to say they had dropped it 3 times over the last several years.
And with the cuts they're talking about now, That's just not good. I'm in a special program where I can actually give as much money. Like, basically, I can pay. They have a base pay that you have to pay in Vermont, mm-hmm. but I can pay over that because Robbie is such a challenging person. I have a budget, and I can choose to pay one person more or
okay.
two. Yeah.
I think she mentioned that. And the base pay is definitely a lot more than it was where I come from.
Yeah. So it's very nice because I wouldn't be comfortable paying just, you know, I feel like for Robbie's very high needs. I want to be able to adequately compensate, well, especially because it is part time, and so mm-hmm. you need to be able to fit that. You know, it needs to be worth the person's while, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, but I think that's, you know, that's why your perspective as a paid caregiver is really important to me, because what you mm-hmm. offer is so much more than what you're compensated for, and it's just not recognized as well. So I want to ask if I can ask you a couple more questions. I don't know when you want that. So he's still a child. He's 16. Mm-hmm. He's a youth. It sounds like, you know, that creates when they become, you know, there is that you've been with him since he was 11 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets a little, you know, I know. Robbie's 28, still likes to go sit at the top of the slide on the little kids' playground and stuff like that. And I let him do it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't try to push him too far towards adult activities. We still have, he has a very special board book that he likes to look at every night. Mostly mm-hmm. he loves cooking magazines, so he can't read. But he loves to look at the pictures in food magazines.
Yeah.
But at the end of that, we always read the same little toddler board book, and it's mm-hmm. you know, I don't try to push him beyond that, but having someone who's not a child anymore and has autism, it gets harder, right?
Yes.
There seems like a lot of the research and a lot of the understanding around autism presupposes that the autistic person is a young child,
mm-hmm.
right? And some of the So I don't know, do you experience that as an issue, that now that he's a teenager and he's full size?
So, yes.
You know.
Eli can read, but it's not, I think he's just recognizing words.
Mm-hmm.
He can follow the words, but I don't know if it's like coming together in his head. I think
right.
he's more like visual and,
yeah.
you know, he relates things to the way they kind of affect him.
Yeah.
So it's like if you read a story and then ask him a question about it, he might just come up with some random answer just that he thinks you want to hear.
Right.
It's
yeah.
not going to be
yeah.
pertaining to the actual story or something. But he does enjoy reading, and
yeah.
he's That's a good. Boy. He's into bugs and spiders and
cool.
frogs and everything that grosses me out.
Yeah, I wonder if you'd like the, have you been down to Echo, the Echo Center? Again,
mm-mm.
it's downtown Burlington on the waterfront there, so Lake Champlain Basin. They may take him there with school, and there might be, you might be able, I don't know if there's an admission fee, but you might be able to check it out from the local library, mm-hmm. public library.
Okay.
But it's they have a lot of amphibians, and it's just like the
yeah.
science of the Lake Champlain Basin.
Oh,
and
cool.
so he probably really, he might like that.
Yeah.
Robbie hates it, but he might like it.
Oh.
I was like, get me away from this place. How many times do I have to go here before you realize I hate it? But does Eli participate in community activities?
Not really.
Yeah.
He might do some activities, but I don't think he really enjoys it. I think he's just doing it because he's asked to.
Yeah.
And for a long time, especially with ABA, there was always a specific reward at the end of things. So
yeah.
we still kind of use that. Like, okay,
yeah.
when after we do this, we'll go to Wendy's or you can get a cookie or whatever.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I notice him just like almost forcing himself through something just to get
yeah.
the reward.
Yeah.
So I try not to do that to him, but I mean, you know, his mother, I mean, obviously if she has to go to the grocery store, she, you know, has to get him in and out one way or another, but
right.
and sometimes that kind of thing really helps.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah. I try not to overdo it, because with me, especially me, he knows how to get what he wants for me. He worked with me for about a year before I realized what he was doing. He's very charming for a nonverbal boy.
Yeah. How does he do that? How is he charming?
He'll just kind of lean in, grin, and go, candy. Aww.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. He's a very sweet kid when he wants to be.
Yeah.
And he's an ornery teenager when he wants to be. So.
Yeah. Well, that part, the ornery teenager part, I think does get better. I feel like with my son.
It's almost like you can't blame him, because I was the same boy.
Yeah, I know.
Does not really want to get out of bed.
Yeah.
It's not. I can't blame him on that even now.
Yeah, with my son, I just take his covers away. I'm like, okay, get out now. That tends to work, but I have to start taking a bucket of cold water and splashing him.
She's done that. Well, you know, once they're a certain height and weight, I mean, she used to just kind of pick him up and just sort of guide him out of bed, and now it's like, if he wants to be dead weight, he's going to stay dead, at least with me.
Yeah.
I can't do anything with him.
That's a big thing, that transition to where you can physically redirect, to where it's, you know, they're stronger, they're more willful, you know, and I say that with all great affection. I mean, I love nobody more than, I mean, I love all my family, but I am rather worshipful of my son. I just, you know, he's just at the core of my being, and there's something about, especially, I mean, maybe for me, because like I've lived my life in my head as an academic and everything, but like just his presence and his perspective is so therapeutic for me, even though of course it means I can't go to the grocery store with him and I have to find some way, because his issues around food are what they are. You know, it's not all a piece, you know, a cakewalk, but it's just really, for me, just the most moving and enlightening experience I've had in my life. So I guess if I can ask you just a couple more questions, so I'll let you be on your way, or I can offer you a ride to wherever you're going.
Oh no.
So what would you hope for him to achieve in his life? And what does, I mean, you personally, but then also the family, what are their goals for, what would you like to see him be able to do as an adult, as a, you know, fully realized human being?
I mean, ultimately, I would like to see him a lot more independent. And it's hard, because I know physically he could be. It's just, there's something in his head that's not letting him get that done. And I would love to see him find a job, something productive he can do that, you know, would give him a sense of, you know, contributing, I guess, in a way. Or not really contributing, but just something to give him, like, you know, a sense of, I'm gonna put it. Give him something kind of productive to do where he's earning, and make him feel a little more like everybody else. And he does seem to enjoy people.
Yeah.
He likes being around people, but he can't always process it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes at family functions, I'll ask him, do you want to stay here or do you want to go sit with everybody? And he'll say, everybody. But when I take him out, and then, you know, there's a conversation here, a conversation there, and he's trying to focus on eating, and it's just too much, you know, with all this outside stuff, he can't focus on, you know, like the physical act of eating, so that's hard.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed about Vermont is that so many people are more aware and more accepting of people like him, and that's just been amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they lived in kind of a small town where a lot of people actually knew him from one place or another, but, you know, people were pretty accepting, but it's, you know, a lot of places weren't, and You know, there was, I mean, because he looks, you would never know just by looking at him that he had, you know, something until he, you know, sometimes he'd get overwhelmed and he would just stop. Even in the middle of, like, the grocery store line, he'll just stop. And, you know, if I kind of try to hurry him out, I know he's going to get upset. So I'm just, like, just standing there. And, you know, I've noticed that here people are just like, oh, take your time, whatever.
Yeah.
And we check. He loves Ben and Jerry's. We talked about how Ben and Jerry's is in Vermont and they make it in Vermont. We were talking about going to the factory, and me and him and his brother tried to go. And I think he thought he was just going to go sit and eat ice cream. When we got in there, it was full meltdown. And he actually took off running. I had to go tackle him.
Yeah.
I finally got him kind of away from the middle of everybody, and he just stopped. He just froze.
Yeah.
And I kind of like had my... we were on near a railing, and I had my arm out just in case he tried to run, that I could, so I could kind of keep him from running out in the middle of people. And, you know, this woman comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and I was just like, what in the world now? And she was like, I just want to let you know, I know how you feel. I have a grandson like him. You're not alone. And I was just like, I almost cried. I was like, right. You know, people just don't act like that where we came from.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing.
Well, that's good. It can be, those moments are hard, right? Because you do feel like a sense that no one understands what you're going through. And people don't want to interfere. They don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. Often I think they have the desire to be helpful, but they don't know what to do. But I think it's becoming more in Vermont, you know, because people with autism are more integrated into daily life.
Yes.
I think people get comfortable with that, and I think over time, I've experienced as a parent, you know, more helpfulness from people, like not, I mean, the goodwill was always there, but the sense of, okay, you know, do you need anything, rather than, you know, just the sort of, you know, averted eyes, you know, that just, that means so much, even if there is nothing anyone can do to help, that someone would say something is a really nice thing.
I had that happen one time in and a Ben and Jerry's, actually. I think I got him a little cup of ice cream, and I think he wanted a cone but couldn't communicate that.
Yeah.
I think he didn't know to say that. But when he sat down, and I think he gets upset that he can't say it. I don't think it's even so much about not getting the item. I think it's just really upsets him that he can't say exactly what he wants and can't get it out. Anyway, he saw somebody with a cone, and I mean, he was just like, I thought he was going to break the chair, and I'm just, you know, there's literally no way I can get him out of there, so I just, and this woman was like, can I do anything to help? And I was just like, I wish. No.
Yeah.
I mean, and people just are not used to seeing a lot of that there, and I kept waiting on somebody to, like, think he's having a seizure and calling them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank goodness we never had any kind of issue with, you know, that kind of thing happened. Although one time he did, he was got in one of his giggly moods. We went to a park, and his mom was at an exercise class, and he got in one of these giggly moods and was just laughing and bouncing. And I was like, okay, you know, let's go back to the van and go on home. And he'll say, van, yes. And he start walking and then take off running or skipping.
Oh, yeah.
And that's almost even worse, because he's just in one of those little giddy moods.
Uh-huh.
And finally a cop came over, and he was like, you know, we closed the park down at dark. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm trying to get him.
Was the officer helpful?
He was nice about it, thank goodness. But I was like, yeah, I just called his mom. She's almost here. And because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to pull somebody else's child physically. And so she's like, oh, no, we're not doing this. Come on. So.
Yeah.
It turned out okay, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally relate to those kinds of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I haven't talked to... It is a very isolating experience, especially when your child is, quote-unquote, low-functioning. And it sounds like Robbie, you know, like, Eli has some skills that Robbie doesn't have. Like, Robbie can't read. Robbie can communicate verbally wants and needs, but maybe a little more effectively than Eli, but not that much. And he doesn't use sentences, and he can't answer questions. But to me, you know, he's just Robbie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But But those issues of like getting stuck someplace and not knowing how, especially in public, you know, so you end up kind of like your world gets smaller and smaller, right? Because there are fewer and fewer things you can do safely. That can happen. So it's nice to feel, you know, you figure out, and in a new place it's probably hard, figure out the things that you can do where it is safe and it's, you have a sort of, you know it's going to be okay and those things are unlikely to happen. But yeah.
The more I work with him, I can kind of get a feel for when he's going to get upset. And if I feel like it's not a good idea, I might say, okay, we're going to stay in here until you feel better.
Yeah.
Which sometimes that upsets him because he thinks he's not going to get to go in.
Right, yeah.
And then I think he gets upset that he's upset.
Yeah.
He can't express it.
You know,
it's got to be hard, though. I mean, that's our natural reaction. You know, oh, I feel bad right now, or I feel this, and, you know, they don't have that outlet. So I know that's got to be hard.
Uh-huh. It's funny because as you talk about him, my desire to meet him is just greater and greater. I'm like, oh, he sounds
He has that effect on people.
Yeah.
He's very...
That's good,
he's
right?
Something.
Charming.
Got a certain charm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, and that's such an important asset, right? Because he will rely on caregivers, and he has to be able to endear himself to people.
Yes.
He sounds very endearing to me. He sounds dear to me. He makes me want to, like, you know, give him a big hug just hearing you describe him. how has caring for him impacted your life? I guess that could be the last question that I ask you.
Oh, goodness. It's hard to think of something when I'm asked that, but I think about things all the time and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I definitely feel better. I feel like a better person just for knowing him and kind of seeing the world from his perspective. It's so complex but so simple at the same time. And it's like one day we were trying to bowl and I was setting up these little bowling pins and trying to roll the ball, trying to play a game, and he was just like, what in the world, what for? And then he just walks up and knocks them over. And it's like, why don't, if you want them to fall down, why don't you just, you know, why are you making it harder? And I'm like, that's kind of profound because we do end up doing things a lot to make things harder on ourselves. And it doesn't really have to be that way. It's like,
that's so funny. And really, that's a great example. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. He's so creative in the way he expresses himself that I'm just like, to him, I think it makes perfect sense. But to all of us, we're just reading way too much into things. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's okay. Trying to elaborate, but I don't really know how.
That's articulate, though.
It's hard. And he's kind of my buddy now, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't speak, but it's like, if we're riding around, I mean, I don't want to sit there in silence, so I'll just talk to him and I'll be like, oh, you know, I can't believe my friend's doing this or that or whatever, you know, just kind of pour my whole, like, one day I was like, my best friend just texted me and she's gone to Starbucks without me, you know, something simple like that. And he was like, Cookie, yes. I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't have said anything. So we had to go to Starbucks. He knows what Starbucks is.
Okay.
So he'll say Starbucks, yes, really quick. But,
funny.
So. And then, of course, I'm always trying to get him to do, like, kid stuff, like play on the playground. Well, not so much anymore, but in the last few years, I'm like, let's go play on the playground. Let's go swing. Because I'm in my 30s. I can't just go swing by myself.
Exactly.
And he's like, no. Okay.
Yeah.
It was fun being a kid again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true that there's a kind of logic to what my son does. You know, he's thinking about something. My husband's much better at figuring out what it is and anticipating what will come next. I don't know, he just has an ability to sort of understand a lot what sort of how Robbie's brain works in a way. They have a more sort of cerebral relationship, whereas I think I have a more sort of emotional relationship with him. I mean, they have an emotional relationship too, because for Robbie, you know, gestures, and particularly affectionate gestures, are like his, he's a very eloquent and sort of gesturally and with his emotions, less so with his words, right? But there are different kinds of expression. He's good at, as you say, getting us to do what he wants. You know, he's a skilled, he's very good at social engineering of a kind.
Yes.
Can I ask you one more question? Do you have a sense of what, are you involved with any, like, other caregivers or with autism resources beyond, like, autism, like, different national organizations or anything?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, I'll kind of do a little research and see what I come up with. But, you know, his mother stays on top of things, and she kind of forwards me or tells me about something new or some program.
Yeah.
But I personally have not in a while.
Yeah. Well, that's what I find for the most part is people are, like, when you're doing sort of the ground level work, you're like, you know, that's, you're just dealing with what's in front of you, and that's enough, right? Because it's so much to deal with the everyday. And most of even the moms who I've talked to are like, no, I'm not really involved in that. No, you know, I'm just...
His mom's very involved. She definitely does her research on things. And she was looking into a lot of programs in Vermont, made a lot of... And actually, his speech therapist in North Carolina either had a friend or worked, somehow knew somebody who's a speech therapist here, and so she got in touch with her, and she was able to point her in all these directions, and other people have pointed her in, you know, different directions, and that's how she kind of had a list of the different schools she wanted to visit, and she found one here, and that's how they ended up in Chittenden County.
Yeah, Chittenden County is the best place to be, I think, just because it's the biggest, right? There's the most resources. I'm in Addison County, and it's great, but there's just less going on.
I have no idea where that is. I don't have to drive too far.
No. It's the next county south.
Okay.
So Chittenden, then Addison. I live about an hour away.
Okay.
So, but I'm, you know, Burlington is our city, so I'll go to Costco or, you know, while I'm up here.
Okay.
You know, I'm excited. I have to go to Best Buy and pick up something.
I was surprised to see those kind of things.
Yeah, well, when you're a small state, you know, you have... Yeah. The thing about Burlington is it has a lot more than a small city would normally have because it serves the whole state. Yeah, but there's some other beautiful towns. We were going to go to Montpelier yesterday just to walk around and take a walk because they have a nice trail along their river. But because it was 4th of July and everything, the bookstore would have been closed, and that would have been cataclysmic for Robbie if he couldn't go to the bookstore. But they're nice. It's a lovely state. There's lots to do.
I've loved it so far. There's a lot of small towns with a small town feel, but it's very different, but in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. Well, I'll turn this off.